Let's take our Bibles and open up to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And, you know, the message this morning, believe it or not, is entitled Bright Hope in Dark Days. And that was part two of last week, so I didn't just do that for this Sunday. It just worked out that way. I've had this, you know, prepared for a long time. And I told Clayton what I was preaching, and he said, people will think that you came up with that because of what happened this week. And he said, I know you didn't, but people will think that. And this is part two of Bright Hope in Dark Days. That's the title of what I titled this weeks ago when I was preparing this. And what I want to do this morning is, first of all, say this. How many of you had damage to your home, or you have a family member or a friend that you know that had damage to their home? Raise your hand. Oh, my soul. Almost everybody in here. That's amazing, you know, isn't it? And I know exactly how you feel. But Peter here in 1 Peter is going to talk about the bright hope that we have in the midst of suffering and in the midst of dark days. And let's just read the first few verses of this book. He opens up the book, and the introduction to the book really goes through verses 1 through 13. It's kind of his introduction to the book that he's writing here. So at the beginning, he tells you who wrote it, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he identifies himself as the author. And then he says, who he's writing to the refugees or strangers scattered throughout. So these are people that are believers, but they've been scattered. They're Jewish believers that have been scattered due to persecution. And notice he says scattered throughout. And this, a lot of these are modern day Turkey, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so they're foreigners, they're refugees, they're strangers. But then verse 2, he says that they are elect, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Aren't you thankful during times like these that God's grace and peace is multiplied to us? Amen. Isn't that awesome how he does that? He just multiplies his grace and peace. He gives us what we need. His grace is sufficient, as the Bible says, and his grace endures, you know, his mercy endures forever. And the grace and the peace, you know, there's peace with God, which we get when we get saved, but then there's the peace of God, which Philippians 4 talks about, which when we pray, we cast our care upon him, he gives us the peace of God. And he says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Are you thankful for that today, church? Amen. And then verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father. Notice how he used the word Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, notice that phrase, abundant mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope, bright hope in dark days, right? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Two, so notice we have been saved, we've been given a new birth to an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance that does not fade away, kept in heaven for you. You know what? Things down here fade away, don't they? But aren't you thankful our inheritance in heaven does not fade away? And then he says, moving on here in verse 5, who are protected. Aren't you thankful for God's protection? Amen. Who are protected by the power of God. He's talking about their salvation. Their position in Christ is protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Whoa, these people have been displaced. They've lost their homes. Many of them have left family members behind. But yet he says here, in this, you greatly rejoice. In what? In all that we have in Christ, this inheritance and this position in Christ and all this. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, if for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials. Boy, doesn't that apply to all of us today? In order that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried by fire, right? Trials. He says it may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation, the revealing, the return of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and in whom, though you do not see him now, you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving as the result of your faith the salvation of your souls. Hey, we're not promised the salvation of our house through a hurricane, amen? But aren't you thankful we're promised the salvation of our souls? And then verse 10, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come to you have inquired and searched diligently, seeking the events and time the Spirit of Christ who is within them signified when he foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, concerning the things which are now reported to you by those who have preached the gospel to you through the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven, things into which the angels desire to look. So that's the introduction to the book. And we began to study this last week. And right away at the beginning, he identifies it's Peter who's writing the book. And, you know, we said a lot of stuff about Peter last week that, you know, he's mentioned more than anyone else in the Gospels other than Jesus. And that we love the guy. We love Peter because he's so human. And, you know, we see his flaws and we see his failures. And we see all the mistakes he made. And we grin a little bit when we look at this because we see ourselves. And we see in Peter a sinner who was called by Jesus and he followed Jesus. And his life dramatically changes. But we said last week, he's raw. He's not really together. And he still messes up. And yet God uses him. Despite his flaws and despite his failures, God uses him. More than 25 failures and sins recorded in the Gospels by Peter. But yet God used Peter to spread the gospel to this world. And Peter reminds us, we said, that it's not about perfection. It's about direction. Are you at least heading in the right direction? Do you want to follow Jesus? Are you seeking to love him and follow him? Do you want to be a Jesus follower? Are you at least heading in the right direction? You're going to mess up and you're going to fail. Peter encourages us, though, to get back up when we fail. You know, get up when you fall. Let me tell y'all something, okay? Listen to me now. Don't forget this. And I'm going to put this in quotes. Good Christian people will try to keep you down when you fall. I'm being sarcastic when I say good. I mean, they think they're good. They think they're good people, right? And they will try to keep you down when you fall. Sometimes Christian people can be pretty ruthless. Have you guys noticed that? They can be pretty ruthless. They can be pretty hardcore. And good Christian people, because the reason why I'm telling you this is I want to prepare you, because it'll be so discouraging to you when it happens. And it could literally knock you out of the race if you're not prepared and somebody that's been doing this for 40 years doesn't say to you, okay, this is going to happen, all right? Why? Well, because number one, the church is full of people who claim to be Christians and believers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have the Spirit of Christ. Okay, just because they say they're saved doesn't mean they are, all right? And so you got Pharisees, you got hypocrites, you got all kinds of people that will try to, when you fall, instead of lifting a hand to help you up, they'll talk about you behind your back. They will rip you. They will judge your heart, and they will try to keep you down on the ground if they can. And don't you love it when people keep reminding you of how you failed? Isn't that great? I mean, don't we all love to be reminded of how we failed? Amen. Don't we all love that? And good Christian people will keep reminding you of how you fail. By the way, isn't it interesting that Peter curses, swears, denies Jesus three times, and really just makes a complete mess of himself and of the cause of Christ and all that, makes it look terrible. And Jesus Christ comes to Peter individually after his resurrection. Then he comes to him multiple times, and Peter has decided, I think in his heart, I'm done, I'm through, I can't do this. And so he goes back to fishing. Remember, he's a commercial fisherman. He goes back to fishing, and he's out, you know, there fishing with some of the other disciples, about seven of them. And he's naked. He ain't got any clothes on. He's out there, man. He's just out there in his fishing boat, just butt naked, right? And I mean, he's out there fishing, and Jesus Christ appears on the seashore. And Jesus, in that encounter, they come in, and Jesus has a fire made. He's got food going. He feeds them. And then he singles out Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And did you know when Jesus was saying that, what he was saying to Peter is, Peter, I am not through with you. I still have a great plan for your life. And don't you love how Jesus just is so full of grace and mercy and wants to restore people? It's so incredible, right? Don't you wish we could all be like that? Don't you wish the church could be like that? Amen? Where the church is just this group of people that just really come together. We're all got each other's backs. When somebody falls, man, we're there to pick them up. We're there to say, hey, God's not done with you, man. It's okay. You know, let's go. We can do this. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He just lifts him up. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I'm not done with you, Peter. And then Jesus restores him. And then 50 days after he has denied Christ and just openly cursed and swore and denied Jesus. 50 days later, he's out there preaching on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people are getting saved. And there are many, quote, good Christian people that would have told Peter, you can't preach. You can't be the one to bring the message. You cursed and swore. You denied Jesus. You can't be the one up there preaching and delivering the message on the day of Pentecost. Why, you've disqualified yourself. You're going to have to step down for a while. You can't bring the message. Aren't you thankful, though, God just kind of pats him on the rear end and says, go get him, boy. Go get him, boy. You know what? You messed up royally, but I'm going to use you royally right now. I'm going to use you. Oh, man, my dream and my vision for the church is so much in line with this and what happened here. And it's just incredible. I mean, it really is. I think that I look at Peter and I see a guy who fails and messes up all the time. And, I mean, royally, right? I mean, big time. And yet, here he writes 1 Peter, he writes 2 Peter. He's mentioned more than anyone else, like I said, in the Gospels. God used him. Peter continued to mess up, by the way. It wasn't like, well, yeah, I know, but Peter got it all together and then he was good. No, he wasn't good. No, Peter continued to mess up. In fact, Galatians talks about how Peter had messed up so bad that the Apostle Paul and him had a face-to-face confrontation, and Paul just had to just rip him, and I mean rip his face off, because Peter was so out of line and was doing stuff that wasn't good, you know. And so him and Paul, man, they went at it, you know. And so, no, I mean, Peter was a work in progress, I'm sure, until the day he died. Can anybody in here identify with that, huh? Honestly, how many of you identify with Peter? I do. I do, man. I'm serious. I identify with the guy. And I look sometimes like, man, why would God use me? You know, I think, why would God use me? And I just am amazed, you know, that how gracious and kind and merciful our God is, and how God takes us where we are, works with us, and loves us. So I think it's not about perfection, it's about direction. And are you at least heading in the right direction? Do you have a tender heart? Do you love Jesus? And again, be careful, because, you know, when you fall, you just need to get back up. And some of you are beating yourself over things in the past. And, you know, again, you know, Christians who are not good Christians, they think they're good, but they're not. They're pointing their finger at you, and they're trying to keep you down, and they're trying to remind you of your faults and your failures and your past mistakes and all that. And what you need to do is you just need to separate from those people. You need to get away from them, and you just need to realize they don't represent God. They don't represent God's word. They don't represent the heart of Jesus. They represent themselves. And they are representing themselves to you, and they are doing the work of the devil to try to keep you down on the mat. But you need to get up, and you need to realize that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you, and that, you know what? God is not going to throw your past up to you in your face. God is not going to rub it in your face. We have a merciful, gracious, loving God, and we have a Jesus that will come to you, pick you up, and not just pick you up, restore you, put you on right back out there, and he will use you for God's glory. Amen. So just wash your hands of those people, forget them, and move on, because they're not worth worrying about. Those Pharisaical hypocrites who just want to keep you down on the ground, just forget them and just move on, because you don't have time for that mess. You don't have time to even mess with those people. Now, there's two threads that run through the book of Peter, and that is suffering and hope. Suffering and hope. And on one hand, these believers were like persecuted aliens. They were like refugees. He calls them strangers. He calls them refugees, foreigners. And they were scattered in a foreign land. But on the other hand, they had a living hope. And they had a living hope that was rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. And that hope would be fully realized when Jesus would return. He talks about that revealing, that revelation. That hope would be fully realized when Jesus would return and give them an eternal, immovable kingdom that would last eternally. And so those two threads, suffering and hope, you know, they go through this book. Well, you know, we need to hear that, right? How appropriate for what we've all been through in the last 4 days. You know, Hurricane Ian has brought some very dark days to the state of Florida. Hurricane Ian has brought some real suffering. And, you know, Denise and I know a little bit about that. You know, our house was flooded completely out. But you know what? So many people have it worse. Some people have lost their entire home. You know, we didn't lose our roof, our walls. And then other people in our state have lost family members. They have lost loved ones. And people have it a lot worse than we do. And Denise and I are like, you know what? We're good. You know, we got our family. All of our family is alive and well. So we got to throw down some new flooring and put up some new drywall. Hey, you know what? I'm thankful my family is all alive. Amen? You know, I mean, hey. Big whoop, you know, we got to put down some new flooring, some new drywall, get some new furniture, right? You know, hey, that's okay. Suffering is embedded into this life. And dark days are going to come, for sure. Dark days are going to come. And I think that sometimes, you know, sometimes when things like this happen, we're like, well, why me? Why me? But you know what? Really, I think the question is, why not me? Why not me? You know, I mean, like, okay, so Denise and I got flooded out. That's not unique. That's not like, oh, some kind of unique suffering that we're having to go through. No, everybody in our neighborhood, pretty much, everyone in the neighborhood got flooded out. And neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood in this city got flooded out. Look at the people in Fort Myers. Don't your heart go out to them, you know? I mean, good night. People lost their lives. You know, and people have been devastated through this. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, for some people, Hurricane Ian was kind of just like a blip on the radar for them. You know, they weren't really affected. And it's like, if you were affected, you know, you talk to some people and they're like, yeah, we didn't even lose power. Way to go, man. Awesome. So happy for you, you know. You know, they're kind of like proud. We didn't even lose power, you know. But it's like, but you know what? Here's the reality. Next time it could be flipped. And the people who weren't affected at all next time may be devastated. You just don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know. It could be flipped. Or you know what? People who this was a blip on the radar, nothing. I mean, they really weren't ill affected at all. Next week, they could have a tragedy in their life. We all have suffering, is my point. We are all going to go through suffering. In fact, the Bible says we're all going to go through the valley of the shadow of death one day. So we're all going to suffer. So, I mean, that's just the way that is. And that's embedded into this life, suffering, because of sin. And so Peter's message here, in a nutshell, is in the midst of dark days, we have a bright hope. And really, to me, it's all about what you choose to focus on. I think about us, and I have so many blessings for us through this, you know. I'm really thankful for the reminder that material things don't matter. They can all be replaced. And I'm really thankful for that reminder. It's, you know, it's funny because the night before the hurricane on Wednesday night, we had the entire family over. We had all the kids and the grandkids, and Denise's mother was over, and we had a house full of people, man. I mean, kids were running around playing. I was throwing them on the couch, you know, and throwing them on the bed, and we were all playing and laughing and having a big time. Denise made a feast, you know, this huge meal, you know. And little did we know, 24 hours later, all the stuff that we were sitting on and all the stuff that I was throwing the kids on, it'd be floating, you know. Little did we know, 24 hours later, that would happen, right? But, you know, it's a great reminder, which I'm really thankful for, is that lives, family, and people are what matter. It's about people. It's about people. The other thing I'm thankful for is the reminder of what friendship means. You know, and friends. I tell you what, we are blessed with not just superficial friends. Just people who, you know, who are just like, they say they're your friend. No, we are blessed with like real deep, deep friendships. And I mean, if I was to take her phone and my phone and show you the list of people, I'm talking about people out of state, people all over the country that are like, we will even come now if you need us. I mean, like crazy stuff. What a blessing. You know, the Bible talks about the blessing and the value of friendship. And I cannot, I'm just thankful for the reminder, aren't you, Denise, of just how many real friends that we have, real friends. I mean, friends that will wade through. We were in our house trapped, couldn't get out. The water was like up to here in places. Well, of course, my wife, only 5'1", so it was up to here on her. It's up to here on me, it's up to here on her. And her mother, it was up to, you know, here. But her mother was with us. And honestly, we were trapped. The water kept rising. So all of a sudden, we look out our window, and Ethan and Brianna Bullock, who's a young couple in our church, they got four kids, we see them wading down the river of our street, and Denise looks out the window. Of course, we're not expecting company, you know. And we see the whole subdivision is a river. And so we look out the window, and she goes, "It's Ethan and Brianna." And I'm thinking, well, that's nice of them to visit, you know. No, I mean, we were just like blown away. They waited from the front of our subdivision because we couldn't leave. I mean, it got to the point we couldn't leave because we're like, we don't even know, where are we going to go? It's like, we don't know if Reed Canal's underwater too. So we don't even know where we would go if we could get out. So we're trapped. They come all the way from the front of our subdivision in danger of their own lives. You don't know what's in that water. They come all the way back and in waist-high water and just to be able to lead us out of there. And we took a raft. I was blowing up a raft that morning. Even before it came in the house, I was blowing up a big... It was a raft I got for the kids to play in. And I started blowing it up. Because it was like a blow-up thing, but it had sides all around it. I mean, you can sit in it, and it had paddles. And my wife and my mother-in-law go, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm blowing up this raft." "Why?" "Just in case." And so I had it ready just in case we had to be rescued that way. So I'm blowing this out. So we were able to take that raft, put a few important papers in there, you know, like birth certificates and things like that. So we put that in there. And my mother-in-law and my wife grabbed a hold of the raft. And Ethan and Brianna led us out of our subdivision. Now you talk about friendship. That's friendship right there. Took us to their house, fed us. They never lost power. But they didn't say it braggadociously, but they never lost power. And let us get hot showers, fed us. She cooked a meal. It was amazing. And I just was reminded of the value of true friendship. Friends that will wade through dangerous waters to get to you like that. Just amazing. And so many people are like, "Hey, we heard about what happened. You can come stay with us." And I text them back and I say, "We'll be there this afternoon." And then I don't get a text back. I'm kidding. That didn't happen. I'm teasing. No, people have been so kind. Don't you find out who your friends are in a trial, amen? You find out who your friends are in the midst of a catastrophe. But you know what the other reminder I got through all this? The other reminder I got was how quickly life on earth can end. How fleeting life is. You know, and that, like, there were a few times when I didn't tell them, but I was a little fearful. You know, I'm laying in my bed and there's like, you know, a foot of water in the house. And I'm laying in on top of my bed thinking, okay, all right, let's see. How can we get to the roof if we need to get up on the roof, you know? And I'm thinking all this and my mother-in-law, classic line of the whole day, my mother-in-law goes, "We could climb up into the attic." And I'm laying in bed thinking, how am I going to get my mother-in-law in the attic? We don't have like stairs to go up. I mean, like, I'd have to like push her up through this little hole, you know. And then the classic line of the day, my mother-in-law paused. She goes, "We can go up in the attic." And then she paused and she went, "I sure would hate to die in the attic." I'm laying in bed and I hear her say that in the other room and I just started laughing. Denise goes, "Are you laughing or crying?" I said, "I'm laughing at your mom. I sure would hate to die in the attic." Oh. But you know, aren't you thankful for the resurrection of Jesus? Amen. And you know, sometimes as believers, we're going to go through suffering. But yet our hearts are filled with this confident, steadfast hope that, you know what? All this down here is temporary. You know? It's not the end. This is the worst it will ever get for a believer in Christ. Paul called it the sufferings of this present time. So you know what? You think, well, why is it? Why me? Why not you. I mean, we're all going to suffer. It's just a matter of when. So the question is not, why me? No, it's, why not me? I mean, let me remind you guys, y'all remember, right, that Jesus suffered. I mean, Jesus was not above suffering. He suffered greatly. Not just the cross, physical pain, the spiritual agony, the terrible stuff. I mean, just he went through a lot of suffering. The hope that we have that's rooted in Christ is that, you know what, we're part of a new family. He calls God our Father here in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father. In verse 2, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification by the Spirit. Notice God, he calls him the Father. And listen, we may feel like foreigners and strangers. We may feel like we don't belong here on this earth. But Peter reminds them that we are God's family. We are family to God. And so Peter's message is, look, right now you're going through suffering. Right now you don't feel like you belong on that earth. But one day you will feel like you belong on that earth. God says, because I'm bringing my kingdom down there to you and your family. And this was very important for them to hear. Because everything in their lives was a sense of rejection. So Peter wanted them to know how treasured they were by God, that they're family. And so the message of this book, if you could sum it up, would be dark days, bright hope. And for an unbeliever, for somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and I said this last week, and I want to repeat it. And I know I said it last week, but I'm repeating it on purpose. I'm not losing my mind, okay? I remember I said it last week. For an unbeliever, for somebody who doesn't know Jesus, which means you don't know anything about resurrection, life after death, none of that. You don't know any of that. For them, there's no hope beyond this brief life here on earth. This is as good as it'll ever get for them. And so they want to try to squeeze every bit of fleshly joy they can out of life down here. A believer, though, has a completely different mindset. A believer in Jesus has joy, but it's a different kind of joy. It's not a joy based on trying to get every fleshly joy and squeeze every little bit of fleshly happiness you can down here out of it. No, a believer's mindset is, you know what? I may go through suffering right now. My beliefs and my actions may actually produce suffering because of my love for Jesus, and people may not like that, and it may produce persecution, but you know what? I'm not going to despair, not going to worry about it, not going to fret, not going to feel like I'm, you know, like, woe is me. No, because the greatest part of my life is in the future. I am part of God's family, and I am part of a kingdom that is going to last eternally. I'm part of an eternal, immovable, glorious kingdom. I am living for that. I'm going to be a part of a kingdom that will extend into eternity. I'm just a pilgrim passing through down here, but my ultimate place, as a person is in an eternal, immovable kingdom in which Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's a believer's hope. That's why a believer isn't living for everything down here. And so Peter's message here is, hey, you know what? You have a new family, and you are accepted in that family. And the second part of the message is, you have a new birth. In verse 3, look at that. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, who according to his abundant mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That, to me, is one of the greatest verses in the New Testament right there. I mean, does that not just sum it up and say it all? Abundant mercy. I mean, look at all the great words in that verse. You know, look at that. Abundant mercy, new birth, living hope, resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, just like, this is one of those verses that's just like gold, man. I mean, it's just got these nuggets all in the verse. It's like one of the greatest verses, I think, in the New Testament. We have experienced a new birth. We not only have a new family, he says we've experienced a new birth. And then in verse 4, notice that not only do we have a new family, and not only do we have a new birth, but we possess a bright new future. Look at verse 4. He says, to an incorruptible and undefiled inheritance that does not fade away, kept in heaven for you. You know what? I got news for y'all. Paint and drywall fades away. Flooring buckles and fades away. All right? Furniture, you wouldn't believe the amount of furniture out by the roadside in my neighborhood. And I know some of you are in the same kind of neighborhoods where just furniture lining the street, right? Like, you know the people who come out on trash day and they scavenge the neighborhood before the trash comes? This is like the ultimate, like, in life for them, right? And, you know, you got all this furniture out by the road. What a reminder, though, when you drive through our neighborhood and you see all this stuff that people were using and sitting on a few days ago, and you drive through the neighborhood and you look and you think, you know what? Praise God, this is not it. Praise the Lord, we have an inheritance undefiled that fades not away, and it is reserved in heaven for us. And this down here is all temporary, it's all fleeting, it's all going to pass away. And it's all going to wear out, it's going to rust out, it's going to wear out, everything we have is going to, but what we have in heaven, and by the way, isn't that why Jesus said lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, right? Lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, because the stuff down here is not going to last, it's not going to last. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How? By loving Jesus. By giving, by being a true friend, by loving people, by sharing the gospel of Jesus with other people, by leading others to Christ, by serving the Lord. You know, COVID has made so many Christians lazy, and they were serving the Lord so vitally, you know, before COVID. And then, you know, a lot of people got lazy during COVID, and people quit serving. And they're like, you know what? We become a consumer. Instead of a servant, and we just kind of just sit on our back ends and just consume instead of giving back out and serving. And I would just encourage you to do this. If you were not ill affected by this hurricane, give back to our community. So many people in our community need help. And so find a neighbor. Find a loved one, find someone that needs help in your neighborhood, and give back to them and help them and be a blessing to them and serve. Don't be lazy. Serve the Lord. Hey, would you guys agree with me? During dark days, isn't that the best time for our light to shine? Amen. The darker it gets, the better our light shines. You know, the brighter the light shines. So, you know, give back. Just be a servant. I mean, yeah, if it puts you out, great. That's awesome. Because if it doesn't cost you anything, I don't think there's going to be any reward in heaven. So, you know, give of yourself. You know, I'm sure I've been completely out of touch because, I haven't had any access to any TV or anything. But we can't even hardly get our phones to work. But you know, I'm sure there's probably, you know, relief funds that you can give to, and things that you can do to help that way. And if you can, be a blessing. Just take what God's given you and be a blessing and help others. If you have been ill affected, I think Clayton someone was going to make an announcement at the end about that. He mentioned that. Certainly we want to try to help as much as we can. If you've been ill affected, we want to try to help out too as a church and be a blessing to you. So, yeah, so just, you know, continue to pray that the gospel will go forth, because a lot of times people are more open to the gospel during times like this, and they'll listen because they realize, wow, this life isn't what it's all about. There's got to be something beyond this. And so people start thinking about God, and they start thinking about eternity, and they start thinking about their heart and their soul and their life. And so it's a great opportunity and an open door to be able to share Christ with other people. Today, here's the message I want to share with you is this. Is that, hey, dark days, but we have bright hope. And the hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. And we have a new family. We have a new birth, new life. We have a new bright future and inheritance. So don't be discouraged. Take hope in Christ and choose to focus on the hope that you have in Christ. It's all about what you focus on. Focus on the hope that you have in Christ. And, you know, it's funny, just on a little kind of funny side note, I don't know about you guys, but I wish I had a dollar for every time I have either said or heard the phrase, "Can you hear me?" How many times have I heard that? Can you hear me? But aren't you thankful? You know, it's funny because my youngest son, Caleb, he's in here. Where are you, Caleb? I heard you amen to me. There you are back there. Caleb was so mad at his cell phone because he couldn't get through to anybody and he couldn't get anybody to answer and his calls wouldn't go through. He goes, "I feel like we're in the Stone Age." And I said, believe it or not, 20 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. There was no such thing, right? It's like, yeah. If the worst thing we have is our cell phone won't work, we're doing pretty good. Amen. So, amen. Well, let's pray together.